To Allah, may Allah's grace and the barakah, the blessings of our pious elders and pious predecessors and my sheikhs, special attention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us on such beautiful nights he gives us, bestows to us. Allah saves us from negligence, laziness, ignorance, such valuable, precious moments, times, hours Allah bestows us for preparation for death, that the time that will come tomorrow, it will become easy for us, inshallah, Allah willing. These are gatherings of bakhshish, forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has, with regards to such gatherings, given good news, glad tidings, that those who sit in gatherings like these, majalis like these, assemblies like these, and come with sincere, honest intentions, they will never leave empty-handed from such a gathering. Never leave empty-handed. Today, Shaban, it is a night of Shaban, the month of Shaban. It is also the night of Jummah, Friday. And also the other special quality is this, that in some days another great night, a great night, is about to come, will come to us. It is such a night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given night like this to any previous nation, ummah, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that who is his habib, the habib of Allah, the beloved of Allah, that due to his sadaqah, due to his status, Allah gave to this ummah such great opportunities. May Allah ta'ala give us the ability to appreciate and value this and such a great precious nights that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. May we not spend in wasting the time, rather the right objective and purpose of that night, may we attain. Now this special fadl, grace Allah's done on this ummah due to the sadqa of his Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that extremely in front of us there are many doors, numerous doors for forgiveness that are available to us. And it seems as if that there are many resources Allah has given to us, many ways, many means, that any one of them, there will be no ummati of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who cannot enter into paradise due to this fact. So simple a method Allah Ta'ala has prescribed, many ways. And this night of Shaban, which is about to come, which is Nisf Shaban, or the night of Barat, and the night of Barakah, blessings, halfway through Shaban. This is that night. And it's ajeeb, unique night of blessings and Barakah and mercies. And the comparison to this, the night, is Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr. So this is Laylatul Barakah, the night of Barakah, and that is Laylatul Qadr. So this night that is to come, it is the night which prepares one for Ramadan. And the servant attains Ramadan through this night. And the night of power, it gives the whole year to the servant. The whole year to them. If in the right way he spends that night, then you get the guarantee of the whole year So this night, which is a great night, big night, which is coming in a few days' time, so we, such nights, we waste nights in such a way that that night we sit down and we just mention it's fadail, it's virtues, and when we complete speaking about its fadail virtues and the speeches, then the amal, the deeds to perform, they go to waste. So in such nights there shouldn't be things like this in actual fact. In our khanqah, I never saw that in such nights that such speeches and lectures and about fadail virtues, these nights are not for this purpose. That speeches begin, people gather together, talking, talk about their virtues of the evening. That's not the purpose. These are unique and brilliant nights that Allah Ta'ala has given. And the first of all, we need to understand the importance of this night. That the whole year we have spent, the whole year has passed by, we are stuck with issues and problems, guna, sins in big quantities, and then suddenly Ramadan Allah Ta'ala gives to us. And how much we'll waste Ramadan if we don't prepare. A person is spiritually not prepared for Ramadan, that he, on this night, he should understand the night and prepare for Ramadan. Such a great night, and Ramadan is so great, we cannot imagine. So for that, Allah Ta'ala has prepared such a way that in Shaban, Allah gave us this month of Shaban. And not just that, there's also an additional night Allah Ta'ala has given in that. In other words, the 15th night of Shaban, which is the night of Barat, Shabbe Barat. In this night, Allah Ta'ala has given to His servant the tawfiq, the ability to do that specific action, that if he does that, then he attains Ramadan. He attains Ramadan. It's stated that Shaban, this month, this is the month to distribute the goodness of Ramadan. To distribute and allocate the goodness of Ramadan. Allocation is done in this month of Shaban. The 15th night of Shaban, there's no difference of opinion here in terms of its greatness. And it's proven from hadith, properly proven by hadith. There's a hadith in Tirmidhi in which Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah has explained the fazilat, the virtues of this hadith. Remember, if there's fadail virtues, then there's amal on the fadail. Even if the hadith is daif, even then there's amal, and these hadith are presented for practical purposes. So this hadith in Tirmidhi, in which it's explained, the meaning of this hadith is that such a night, one night, on one night, Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiyallahu anha was in her home, in her hujra, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. When her eyes opened, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not present at the time, and she was surprised, taken aback, that where has the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gone? So she got up straight away, she came out of her hujra, her room, and she started to look for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when she went, she saw that in Jannatul Baqi, in the cemetery, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present. And when she saw, when the Prophet ﷺ saw Hazrat Aisha Zadika, the Prophet ﷺ said, "O Aisha, do you consider that Allah and His Rasul will breach the trust with you?" He was saying that, were you thinking that, "Oh, maybe I've gone to another one of my wives and that's why you're thinking and you came out?" And the beautiful thing is this, that Allah's Nabi ﷺ didn't say His name. He said, "Allah and His Rasul, Subhanallah." He didn't mention His own personal name. That whatever I do it with Allah Ta'ala's decision, selection. What a beautiful point. That whatever I do according to Allah Ta'ala's decision. So will Allah Ta'ala make me do such an action where I will breach the trust? So she was also Aisha. And she loved the Prophet ﷺ extremely. And she was the beloved of the beloved of Allah, radiyallahu anha. And she said, "O Prophet of Allah, may my father, mother and father be a sacrifice upon you." This was not the reason. Aisha saw that you weren't present, and how could she feel to continue without seeing you? So this was the anxiety that dragged me out, and then I came out looking for you. This was my love. That how can I pass the time, spend the time that you are not present and I'm present there and I'm not with you? So the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, yes, Aisha, do you know what night this is? And as Aisha radiallahu anha said, Allah and His Rasul know best. What night is this? I have no knowledge. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, this is the 15th night of Shaban. And this is a great night, a night full of blessings. And in this duration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to His glory and greatness, He distributes, He allocates. So Allah ta'ala, and then the Prophet said and explained what is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to His greatness and His glory, distributes, allocates. And in this night, the ummah, my nation, their forgiveness and maghfirah happens so much, like there was a tribe and they had a lot of sheep and goats. And the Prophet ﷺ gave an example that just like on those sheep, the goats, the hair on the sheep, on that flock, more than that hair in that tribe, the amount of hair on the sheep of that tribe, Allah Ta'ala forgives more than that quantity of sins. Look how the Prophet ﷺ and Allah prepared us for Ramadan. That take forgiveness from here, then in Ramadan you don't need forgiveness. What do you need there? Just your darajat will be increasing during Ramadan. Your status will be increasing. So you got the forgiveness here in advance. So there, whatever happens in Ramadan, then your darajat, your status rank just increases in Jannah, in Paradise. So this night, whoever attains it, acquires it, seals it, they stated is maghfirah, his forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala gives him forgiveness. What a great achievement in this night. But in that, there are some people who will be unfortunate that even on that night they will not attain their forgiveness and they will lose out. Rather, whoever loses out now, then the whole of Ramadan, that poor soul, he loses out. That's also gone from his hand. Ramadan is gone, then his whole life becomes a waste. How much there's a consequence, you know, sequence here with this night, the night of the 15th of Shaban, going into Ramadan. So my brothers, can there be anyone more sinful than me? You are pious people. What a great opportunity Allah Ta'ala has given. That we can attain Ramadan. We can attain Ramadan. Acquire Ramadan. He stated that within this night, in this night, during this night of 15th of Shaban, Allah Ta'ala says, was the balance sheet, the accounts sheet of an individual is made. In other words, the whole year's hisab, accounting, Allah Ta'ala processes. That whatever's recorded in Allah's records, then Allah Ta'ala, every individual action, that how much rizq is going to be given to this individual, how much wealth is going to be given to this person, when is he going to pass away, when, how much life is remaining, the decisions are made on death and life and rizq, wealth, that how much decision is made, how much will be distributed to this person. And his mu'amalat, his affairs are all confirmed during this night. Everything. Rather, it states in the hadith that some people on this night of the 15th of Shaban, their name is cut off from the list. Their name is cut off from the list of the people of life and added to the people who will pass away. They don't know. They're busy and occupied in their dunya, their business, their actions and their tasks. What does he know? That his name has been cut off, the poor soul. He's free now. He's detached from the list of the people of life. He doesn't have the ilm, the knowledge. So, the accounts and the balance sheet of an individual is made. Life, death, rizq, wealth, everything. Every factor. Whatever he's going to acquire, attain. So he stated, in this night, If a person wants, then he can transform and change his situation. Look here, there's a unique point here. That Allah Ta'ala knows, how much life have I got, how much life you got, when am I going to die, how much risk is he going to have, how much wealth is he going to have, how many children is he going to have. Allah is aware of all the details and the facts. So then, what is their need to tell us? Think about it. That why is there a need to declare this? Why does Allah Ta'ala need to declare this on this specific time? We already know that Allah knows. Allah has said that if your name is going to be cut off from the people who will be alive, your death will come, how much rizq have you got, your life will not be beyond this number of days or years. Why is this being explained or determined on that time? What's the benefit for the human being on this? Say subhanallah. Look here, that what is the situation that Allah Ta'ala has developed here. Allah Ta'ala can decide immediately. There's nobody who can reject Allah's decision. Nobody. The angels, Allah calls them, summons them and gives them a duty. This much rizq you're going to distribute to this person during the year. Allah calls the angel of death, he's going to die. Here's the list of the people who will die. Allah gives the hukum, the order. Yes, who can reject that? Who can shun that? Question that? But the hukum that Allah Ta'ala gives, Allah can bring that hukum back. It's Allah's decision. He's Qadir Mutlik. He's in control. So why is Allah explaining this? Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala has said here that this is such a great night. This is such a great night that if you want, then your destiny can be changed. Your life can be changed. Improved. That's the purpose of saying this. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? That Allah says, I've made a decision here. But even then I give you a chance by telling you that the destiny can't. Allah Ta'ala said, it's written. No power can change the destiny that Allah Ta'ala has decided. It's written. Allah has destined it. Whatever has been destined, end of story. But Allah has told us for this reason that things can be changed. Your age can increase. Your life can increase. Your whatever's in your destiny, that can be wiped away as well. You can do this tonight, on that night. What is it that can change it? Tell me. Three things are such, subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala has given to us, three things are such that they can go and change the destiny of a person. They can change your age. Whatever's written in your destiny, it can be changed. Altered. Three things such that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. Number one, true tawbah, repentance. True tawbah. Number two, dua, supplication, prayer. And number three, sadaqah, charity. These three fantastic things Allah Ta'ala has given to a human being. Allah says, go, I've made your decision. But these three things have put the power that even then I can change my decision if I want to. Subhanallah. In dua, Allah has put a lot of power. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani, rahmatullah alayhi, his son, Hazrat Khwaja Mazum Qudsi Sirra, who was from his children, what a great wali Allah he was in history. Tens of thousands of murids, the shahenshahs of their time, people in the world, were his students. Unique sheikh he was. So he was a student, he was studying at the Ustad Tahir Lahori. And what an Ustad, imagine his teacher, such a great sheikh's son, and himself he's a sheikh, and the teacher's teaching that sheikh. So Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani once met him. And when he saw him, then he lowered his face, his head, because there's a basirat, a vision with which the walis of Allah see and look. Such like a glasses, such a vision they have, that they're seeing something different. Soon as he saw him, because remember, when you go to a wali Allah, then be very cautious and careful with your heart, because he can read everything with his vision, that what is in the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them such sight and vision. Clear, be clear and transparent when you go. But there are people, mashallah, the walis of Allah, they don't make it apparent. They understood everything, but nobody can trick them. Nobody can trick them. Yes, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ Allah says that you cannot deceive Allah, nor can you deceive the mu'min. In reality, you are deceiving your own self, subhanAllah. But Allah says, you don't know, foolish people, you don't realize. You think I'm tricking someone, deceiving the wali Allah? Yeah, well, nobody can deceive or trick a wali Allah. Anyway, so the Prophet ﷺ, did he not know about the munafiqs, the hypocrites? He knew, but he didn't make it apparent. He didn't expose them. So if they criticized, then each and everyone's name was mentioned. By name. So the walis of Allah, the awliya Allah, they are walis of Allah. They're friends of Allah. And they come from the same principles. May Allah forgive. May Allah forgive. So I was saying, that yes. So that meeting, then he was taken aback. The Abba, what is it that you weren't happy when you met my ustad. You didn't show happiness or when you greeted my ustad, and you became concerned. What's the reason for this? And he said, my son, yes, you've asked me, so I'll tell you. That on his face was written doubtful, or a person with an unfortunate destiny with regards to the hereafter, a loser. Yes, jahannami. It was printed on his face, forehead. So can we read that? Nobody can read that. Can we read that? So he then started to cry, his son. He said, Abba, my father, this cannot be. Do something for him. He said, my son, what can I do? This is in destiny. Allah Ta'ala has written this. How can it be changed? This cannot occur. It cannot happen. He cried a lot. He said, no, do something. He said, what can I do? He said, dua. Abba, pray. Let's pray for him. So then he thought, alhamdulillah, that's it. Then in his own style, and when he was the mujaddad, and imagine his du'as of the mujaddad. The next day when he came after doing du'a, when he saw then on his face that what was imprinted was wiped away, it disappeared. Khair. So he was a great wali Allah. His du'a, it was successful, but in Shaban, Allah Ta'ala gives everyone the tawfiq to do this, say subhanAllah. Why? Because according to Allah's greatness and glory, what is Allah's glory? Greatness. Allah's glory is rahmah, mercy. It's not ghadab. Allah's glory is not punishment. Allah Ta'ala's glory and greatness is not punishment. It is rahmah, mercy. Mercy. And the mercy of Allah, it overwhelms, overpowers the ghadab. Allah doesn't look how many sins has he done, what has he done wrong. And when Allah announces forgiveness, then the forgiveness takes place, alhamdulillah. There it doesn't look that, oh, he's sinful, this many sins. Hey, every individual, every man, Allah gives a tawfiq that we are grateful, we are alive. Ask those who are in the graves right now. That what hal are they in? What situation are they in? May Allah forgive. May Allah forgive. What other punishments they're passing through? What situations and conditions are encircling them? And people see that sometimes, for example, people see in dreams, their relatives, they see them distressed in their dream after they passed away. So we are enjoying ourselves in the dunya. We don't know. But they, we're rejoicing, enjoying ourselves in the dunya. We don't realize our graves are very close to us. So these night of Shaban, Allah has reminded us. And remind us that you are about to die. Very soon you're going to die. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also declared the night of Shaban in the graveyard. In the graveyard he declared this night of Shaban. That be aware, value this, such a great opportunity you're getting. This night you're wasting it, in wasting your time. In games and arguments and quarrels. Celebrate like this. No, you can't celebrate like this. This is permissible. He says, this is not permissible. Totally straightforward a message that we've received. Why are you going to argumentation and quarrels? No, if you do this, this will happen. No, if you do this, this will happen. No, this won't happen. And in these quarrels and disputes, confusion arises and is generated. Yes, various phone calls have come to me. The Hazrat Sahib, should we do this? Oh, is this bid'ah? Is this innovation? Is this shirk if I do this? So much confusion has been developed within the people that they can't do ibadah. They can't worship. They can't even worship due to the confusion in this fear. The fear that they're telling me. If we do this, will this happen? If we do this, will this happen? Tell me. totally straightforward night Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Yes, the hadith are present. And also there's a complete message that your life, this night will transform your life. You improve your life. It will change your destiny this night. Your maqadar, if Jahannam is written in your destiny, then you will be taken out of Jahannam. You can be delivered to paradise. That's this night. What greater thing can there be than this? A person's drowning in Jahannam. Totally in hell is that person with his sins, due to his sins. But when such opportunities come, where there's common forgiveness, then alhamdulillah, he arrives to paradise. So who asks any person who goes into the grave that this night, if it was to come in your life, what would you do? Tell me. So such nights, if we waste them as well, listen carefully that what are the orders for this night and what we must be doing. So the first order we've been told about this night is that everything can change if you want to change it yourself. Subhanallah. If you want to increase your life will increase. If you want to rizq more wealth, Allah says, I'll increase your wealth. According to my glory and status and greatness, and I'm announcing, Allah says, is there anyone there? Come and ask from me. Tell me. Such a great chance. And our yaqeen doesn't accept this. Our belief doesn't accept this. If we had belief and we accepted this, then subhanAllah, like the noble companions, would spend this night. Alhamdulillah. Yes, but we have no fear, no worry. We just say subhanAllah, forgiveness in this night. Yes, today we're successful. We've got success today. But so much quarrel, dispute, shaitan and nafs has made us quarrel that we don't even have belief on these points. That how will this happen? No, it can't happen, Musa. It's impossible. We can't do amal. We can't practice. It's clear announcement Allah's making that this is your position. Your sheets have been made. After your balance sheets have been made, I've given them to the angel. I'll call them on this night. Allocate them. Your names will be recorded clearly and printed. Your names will be printed that this person's free. Go, take him. His life, his death is about to come to this person. And those people who are alive the previous year, tell me. The people who were alive the previous year, in the previous night of Shaban, that this would have happened in front of them, just like today we are speaking together. But they are not present with us today. Somebody drowned and died, somebody burnt and died, somebody died like this, somebody died like this. Those who were to depart, you see a lengthy list of those who were about to pass away. Those who didn't have yakin that they'll die, nor were their ages that much, nor were their condition that much. Somebody had an accident. Young people, youths. I know people who I know myself who passed away like this. 18 or 19 years old children, youths I've seen who died, people I'm acquainted to. Yes, they didn't believe that last year when they heard this, that they never come. But if you want in this night, your age can be increased. Your life can be increased. Whatever you ask from Allah, Allah says, I'll give to you. Say subhanAllah. Subhanallah. But develop the yaqeen, the belief that Allah is there, Allah does give, Allah is in control, He's present. At least believe this fact first of all. If you have yaqeen and develop that, then one night, alhamdulillah, you'll see how valuable one night becomes for the human being. Why? Because Allah's choice. It's Allah's choice. He can do what He wants. He can decide what He wants. He can decide in one night if He wants to forgive forgiveness, that's His choice. Yes, if whoever's name he wants to cut off the list of the people who are alive, is his choice. Who can question Allah? Who can challenge Allah? There's no law in front of Allah. It's His law. Whatever He says, that's it. That's the law. Allah has no need to ask permission, request. Whatever Allah wants is truth. Whatever Allah decides is truth. There's no one who can challenge Him, question Him, doubt Him. So this is a very great opportunity, alhamdulillah, for the human being. The increase your age, increase your life, increase your rizq and your business, make life, make your children pious, do du'as for your children, Allah, make my children pious. Whatever du'as you ask for. And this great opportunity, I've said to you, there are three things that can change your destiny. Number one is what? Factor number one. Yeah, so what do we need to do? Yes, and then there's a list that's been given as well. But those people, then also this has been explained permanently, clearly, that these people especially should pay attention. These people. Who? Which people? That from these people, that I am extremely unhappy with these people, so unhappy, displeased, that when there's forgiveness being distributed, even in this night, when there's common forgiveness, I won't forgive them. But if in these three things he does that, then even then I'll forgive them. What else do we need? Tell me. So we aren't angels. We are full of deficiencies, my brothers. We are full of deficiencies. We are people full of defects, maladies. We aren't angels satay, that there's no defect inside of us, there's no wrong inside of us. No, that, how can that person say, I am pure and I'm forgiven? How can he be forgiven? Always he's successful, he thinks, and he hasn't got any sins. Cannot be. Yes, is this not a valuable night? Tell me. So tonight, before that night, we should know what to do in that night. Or do we do drama in that night so that we don't get the opportunity? For this reason, we speak in advance. We speak in advance. That night, we're not going to do the wrong actions. We're going to do the right actions in that night. The right actions. Forgiveness we ask then, so that we can elevate our darajat in that night that will come after. And we will seek Allah's qurb in that night. Nearness. Yes, via dhikrullah. Remembrance of Allah. You don't understand what I'm saying? So today we should speak about today. And this night that's coming first. Today we need to do everything. So it's very great that people who today have come to the Majlis Saturday, this is Allah's fadl, Allah's blessings, isn't it, on a person? This is Allah's fadl, that He's preparing that person, Allah loves that person. This is a sign of the people who Allah Ta'ala loves. They are the beloved servants of Allah who Allah Ta'ala brings to such majalis, gatherings. Allah takes ignorance away, lazies away, sets them down, collects them. Even a person sits there making a face and he looks at himself and drags himself, grinds himself down. I'm okay, oh servant of Allah, Allah's mercies. Be happy on Allah's mercies. Be grateful, Allah, you're so gracious and merciful that you want me to succeed so much. And Allah, I am disrespectful that I don't love you. Say subhanAllah. So what a great point this, great learning this is, isn't it? So the list Allah has given, and especially Allah, these people will be forgiven. So what we will be from those people, yes, I'm not talking about angels here, so we should look at that, those qualities, what are those things, that what's that list of people that these people will not be forgiven? Who are those people? So those people definitely need to work hard and emphasize and get help from Allah, and from dua, may Allah forgive, from sadaqah and tawbah, these three things, tawbah, dua and sadaqah. You know, do we ever give sadaqah? Our pockets don't even shake. And nor do we consider that our sickness will go with sadaqah. No sickness is there out there. This is the experience of my life, and I've seen this through observation. Various people I saw that they have passed by the mouth of death. The doctors said that you are going to die. Just a few hours left. And alhamdulillah, I've seen those people through these three resources that they have escaped death. If Allah says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Whatever Allah said, that's going to happen. So whenever tragedy comes, or halat come, or conditions come, that the door seems shut for you, slam shut on you, don't lose hope. Open the door of sadaqah. Not sadaqah, put £2 in, ten. You put the, you hear the coin dropping at the bottom. Not that sadaqah. Sadaqah is that you open the door widely. Then why is my son not getting cured? What's the reason? Here, take this, open the door of sadaqah. Wide open. There was a brother, Sahib, and he was quite rich and wealthy, and I don't even think he's got a house on rent. Now look how a person goes from top to bottom during their life. He had businesses, buildings, assets, some buildings in the city. I won't say his name. People recognize him. He had many buildings and assets, buildings upon buildings, big, big structures and mansions. When it dropped down, then today, and even yesterday, 2 days ago, someone said to me that he hasn't even got a house to rent out to live in. That is the zawal that's come to his life just due to a sin. That it will come in that list. What is that sin? Due to a sin. Whoever Allah Ta'ala has said that there's a sin, then consider that as a sin, my friends. Consider that as a sin. Otherwise, that person will die as a mushrik. Remember this, remember this. He will die as a disbeliever. One without faith. Because he didn't consider that a sin that Allah Ta'ala defined as a sin. You had this much, you challenged, you dared, Allah said. And it's a big day, my friends, a big challenge this is. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala defines something as sin, we say, no, it is not a sin, it's khair, it's okay. Tell me this. How much a person becomes stubborn, arrogant, If Allah is defining something, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying this is a sin, oh, leave it, we say, it's okay, let him do it, he's a child, let him do it, it's not a sin, it's okay. We come to this dunya, we have to run with the world, no difference, this doesn't make any difference, it's okay, just do it. That person, he has put a stamp on his back that this person is going direct to Jahannam with no stop in between, no stop in between. Guna, sin, believe, accept, whoever accepts a sin as a sin, wallahi I swear, he has saved himself from that sin. So big a sin it is, and I also have experienced this in life, however big it is that sin is, and however much a person is missing that sin, but if he says no, it is a sin though. Oh, I swear by Allah, I have seen him come out of that sin. I swear by Allah. But that individual who is so stubborn, ignorant, oh, it's not a sin. He says it's not a sin. Then such sins I've seen him enter that you cannot imagine after that. And it was so difficult, impossible for him to extract himself from that afterwards. So biggest achievement, biggest point is that if a person's committing a sin, carrying out a sin, and if openly, blatantly, and he's stubborn and arrogant, no, if he says inside himself, this is a dirty action I'm doing, immodesty, be shameful. And if you're bone idle, then speak to them. Oh, I should be ashamed of myself. Don't you feel ashamed of yourself? You're doing this action. Allah has declared it as a sin and you're doing it. He says to himself, are you feeling ashamed that when you do this action, that every day you're doing in the morning, every day in the evening, and you're praying salah in the same way? In other words, you say that whatever you think is correct, whatever Allah says is right, you don't believe in that. How can you say that salah is not accepted? I'll show you that I can pray salah. How can you say that I can't go to the Rawdah Mubarak like this, it's permissible? I will go to the Rawdah Mubarak like this, looking like this, and I'll give salam. Stubbornness of the person. This is the deen that we've manufactured ourselves. Why? Because this dunya that Allah Ta'ala has given to this world, this is the world of attraction. Nobody is Allah Ta'ala grabbing. If Allah was to grab somebody, you would see no man on the crust of the earth. If Allah was to grab anyone, then you see no human being alive on the crust of the earth. Allah says, maybe he'll do tawbah now. Maybe he'll repent now. Maybe he'll get understanding now. Maybe the penny will drop now. Allah is so kareem, so merciful, so raheem. Allah gives so many chances that maybe this man will turn back to me now. Allah says, calls the angels, how dare you? Don't say anything to this man. Even the angels are distressed that this human being, why is his hisab not being done? Why isn't Allah destroying this person? Why isn't he being wiped from the earth? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, hold on, don't touch him, I am muntazir, that maybe he will turn back to me. Maybe he'll turn back. And most of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy at that time. When a person like this, he comes back, then Allah ta'ala, he really likes that when the person turns back to him. With his karam. Allah says to the angels, this man you were running after, you were disappointed and upset with him. Didn't I not say that he's my servant, he'll come back to me, he's my servant, he'll come back to me? Subhanallah. Didn't I say this, Allah said? And that you were making noise and a clamor, destroy him, wipe him away, he's destroying the world. Allah will ask them. Allah gives a chance. Maybe this person will arrive to a gathering of a waliyullah and he'll have understanding and then he'll be successful, Allah said. Maybe. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Taqullah, Allah Ta'ala says. Wabtaghu wasila. Maybe he'll get a wasila, a means, a good company, wajadu fina. And then he'll do mujahida, he'll work hard. La'allakum tuflihun. Allah says, I will make this individual successful. Yes, wabtaghu wasila. That maybe he will acquire a resource, a means, a way, a company, a guide who will deliver him to the success. Say subhanAllah. Yes, so if you attach yourself to the guide, then you can be a person, wajahadu, who makes effort, works hard. Not this, you get a guide and you sit at the back, give up. And you just lean at the back and you don't know what's going on. No, you have the guide, then follow him footstep by footstep, footstep by footstep. Footstep by footstep, follow that guide. Not this, that your guide is in the north and you're sat extreme south and you're just talking by the phone. Yeah, Ajib, love this, isn't it? The lover, he says to his beloved, leave, let's not meet anymore. Let's move the veil, remove the curtain. Yes, and then there's one mahbub sitting there, one mahbub sitting there. What sort of affection there? Even that little bit of a relationship that will end, if they're far and distant from each other. وَبْتَقْ وَزِيلَةُ وَجَاهَدُوا فِينَ لَا لَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Allah says, then I, Allah says, will guarantee falah. What is success? What is tuflihun? What is success? Falah. What is the definition of falah? Success. Wealth, money, children, dunya. Now, what is the meaning of falah? Falah is the pleasure of Allah and freedom from hell. This is falah, success. Tuflihun. That's the definition. That's the definition. Whatever, after any action, if you get these two things, the pleasure of Allah, if you attain the pleasure of Allah, and freedom from hell, then consider he is the falah, the successful person, tuflihun. He's gone into that list of people. And how will we acquire this? The Quran is telling us, subhanallah, that when you take the wasila and the means and you work hard, when you take the means and you work hard, yes, sir, this is how I've been taught the Quran that I'm explaining to you now. Our Shaykh, he read the Quran like this to us. Do you understand this? Yes. Not this, he's going that way, wasila, and you are going the other way. No, step by step, you go. Step by step. Amana wa sadaqna, where? You heard it and you've done it. No doubt, no doubt at all. No waswasa. You heard, accept, you do it. Where the waswasa comes, the evil inclination comes, negative thoughts comes, you get shaken, shaitan. Yaqeen sadiq. Yes, the more your yaqeen and faith is honest, sincere, that will assist you. Our Shaykh of the Naqshbandi Tariqah say that if your yaqeen is solid, then you're complete. You don't need nothing else at all. The more your yaqeen you strengthen and develop, the more you become complete as a person. And you'll have wings, like you'll be floating so light. And that, what is it that makes you float? It's your yaqeen that makes you light. That anything, nothing will take you, it's your yaqeen that's making you fly and be successful in the nizam. And the first attack that shaitan makes on a person in the muhabbat is the love between the teacher and the student. What is it? That he ends the yaqeen of the student. The yaqeen of the student. He, when the yaqeen of the student diminishes and goes low, even if it's a dot of doubt, there just trample on it. Otherwise it will increase and strengthen, it will increase and it will strengthen. And this love, this connection, even if it's a dot's width of yaqeen, it should not come in into the student. No, a dot's width. There and then trample on it, crumple it, annihilate it. That first eliminate your waswasa, that I cannot have this waswasa, negative thought. This is destruction for me, where I have the doubts. This is a pure path, my brothers, pure path, Allah's love. Pure path of Allah's love. And it's not for wazifas or give me this, recitation, prayer, chilla, tasbihs, etc. No, 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 not at all. This is not the case. The Shaykh, the teacher, and the murid, the connection, the path, there's just one factor between them, nothing else at all. And the student becomes like this, it breaks like this, and it progresses like this, and it spreads like this. There's one factor, and that is yaqeen, certainty, belief, and faith. And this is the faith that we, it's the faith that then materializes and multiplies and increases in the shaykh. That same yaqeen then goes to the level, first with the shaykh, with the teacher, then to the yaqeen in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the yaqeen in, and then ittaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts. And this same yaqeen then increases, strengthens, develops. Alif lam mim dhalikal kitab la rayba fi. He reaches there. Yes, I have total yaqeen in this kitab. Then he increases and gets better. Then the yaqeen of the Quran, it shows in that person. So he goes from the first step, which is yaqeen in the teacher, faith in the teacher. You don't understand what I'm saying, my friends? So we are following this path. And if you have taken a guide, a wasila, a means, then listen, understand. Then waswasa shouldn't come. Negative thoughts and doubt shouldn't come. Just give your whole, give your whole self to this. Shaitan, nafs will come. Oh, he's this, this teacher's like this, don't do this. Say, not at all, shaitan, we're not interested. I want Allah's pleasure. I want freedom from hell. And this is the way for me, the means through the teacher, the guide, I will attain this. Because the Quran has prescribed this path itself. That's it. Finish, end of story. No doubts. Not this, the Shaykh saying something else, and we Marids are doing something else. Shaykh saying, he said, I'm not getting Jannah because the path they're not matching, and he cannot wake up with that group, and he becomes a munafiq, a hypocrite. That who were the munafiqs at the time of the Holy Prophet? Who were the munafiqs, the hypocrites? And who were the Sahaba, the companions? That there was a group of the Sahaba and there was a group of the munafiqeen. What was the difference? There was a difference in their yaqeen, their faith, their belief. There was no other difference. They also did sujood, the munafiqs. They also stood in prayer. They also used to go on the expeditions, the munafiqs. They used to do the whole drama, pretense. But the difference came where? The yaqeen was not there. The faith, belief was not there. The person whose belief was high from the Sahaba as well. Even amongst the Sahaba. Whoever's yaqeen was great, he became Siddiq. And no, everybody was Siddiq. Everyone was Siddiq, but Siddiq Akbar, there was nobody. There was only one. Siddiq, well, they were all Siddiq. But Siddiq Akbar, there was only one. There was no one else. And at that time, Siddiq Akbar, he became that time when his yaqeen, his belief, faith went beyond all of the Sahaba. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. So my brothers, success is on this. Success is on this point. That a person, a student, he removes all the waswasas. Allah is there. Allah is there. He knows that Allah is present. That Allah is the master of the universe and we need His pleasure. He is the one who can save us from hell. He can put us into heaven. And whoever has a yakin in this, then where do I find Him if I believe this? Where shall I find Allah? And Allah said in the Quran, find here. Through this path, find me. Why can't I do this myself? SubhanAllah. Why don't I just do this myself? I know everything. I can read the Quran. I can read hadith. I can pray. I know how to pray salah. Why do I need a wasila, guide, a teacher to do this? And then put your hand on that verse for a little while. Do the people used to put their hand on that verse? No, I don't need, they used to conceal it. I don't need a guide. A means. Fine. What's the reason? Everything you know, everything you've been explained to, you are a perfect person, there's no doubt. But even then, why is it stated? For this reason, listen, for this reason, what was there not in Shaitan? Did he not have ilm? He had knowledge, he used to teach the angels. He was a jurist, he had everything, knowledgeful, everything, he had everything. But where did he lose out? Where did he fall down? Yes, where did he fall down? Where did he lose out? He lost. He failed. Despite having everything, the knowledge, everything, but he couldn't do it himself because he has something inside him which not let him succeed, and that was kibr, the pride. And he didn't know himself that kibr, pride, was inside him. And what is the definition of kibr? Look here. How? What's the definition of kibr? If you ask, do you know? Yes, I know the definition of kibr. The person who says that he knows, he doesn't know. SubhanAllah. You don't understand what I'm saying? The person who says, I know where the kibr is, and the person who said he doesn't know, then he in reality knows. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, what did he say? What did he say? He said that I am done. He said that, didn't he? Yes. That regarding the Shia, Sharia, he was the Nabi, the Prophet, the Talim that was given to him. He said, then go learn the ilm, go to this person, arrive there to learn. What's the reason? Because Shaitan, he became Shaitan, not due to sujood, etc. He became Shaitan because he had kibr inside him. Pride. And kibr, only one thing finishes kibr, that when you submit in front of somebody else, then the kibr will be eliminated. Say SubhanAllah. So until you don't learn how to submit, then you cannot submit to Allah. Then your defects within you will spoil you even more. You'll say, I know everything. I don't need to a guide. Mulana Rum, rahmatullah, do you know who he was? Do you know who he is? What did he say? That, what did he say? Maulvi Rum, he said, can never become Mulana. How did he become a Mulana? Due to this reason of my guidance of my Sheikh, he said. Why? Because he asked the same question. He said, do you know? He said, I know. He said, you don't know. You don't know what's within you. When he said, Mawlana said, I don't know. At that time, he became Mawlana Rumi. SubhanAllah. When he submitted himself. He said, at that time, after that, I became, when I said, I don't know. He said, as long as I said, I know, I'm fine. Then he said, I was just the Maulvi. But when I said, I don't know, then I became the Mawlana. Then he became the Mawlana. You understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. Why? Because kibr is extracted from that individual then at that time. When he submits, accepts, the negatives come out. So that's the cure. That's the only cure. Until you don't take the hand of the guide, you can't get the cure. You cannot be guided. There is not the alim, he's a jahil. Yeah, he's a jahil. Ignorant. The biggest jahil is the person who says, I know. I'm fine. And the biggest alim is he who says, I don't know. Hazrat Sahib. Subhanallah, how can I praise him, his ilm, his knowledge, my sheikh? You know that, what a great alim he was, a scholar. I myself, various occasions, and not this, he was so sincere, ajiz, humble. There were big gatherings, muftiyan, scholars would be around him. And a person like me would go today and say, Hazrat Sahib, that can I keep the fast of Shaban? I want to ask you the masala, can we do this? And Hazrat Sahib would say, that look, this is a big masala, you asking me? Questions, such big masail, I don't know these answers. These are mulanas, muftis around me. Ask them, I don't know, he said. Until today, Hazrat Sahib, I never saw that Hazrat Sahib was explaining and answering a masala. He said, I don't know. At all. Yeah. He said, I don't know, have any knowledge. Subhanallah, amazing. What great people there were. And I saw with my own eyes these great personalities. We read in kitabs, you read in kitabs. I've seen with my eyes the great people. So in reality, they knew. They knew, they were the people who knew that what the Quran they had, what greatness they had. Anyway, so where were we discussing? Where have we reached? Shaban. Yes? So the list was given. And our duty is the first and foremost, we need to consider and accept that we are the people on this and we are the people in the wrong. Not that it's those people and not me. So that list is coming. Whoever takes this list, accepts it, what does he attain? Shaban. Not just Shaban, rather he gets a new lease of life. And if he wants to increase his age is great. If he wants to eliminate sicknesses, he's got everything through that, whoever's done the action on that time. Alhamdulillah. Allah has announced himself that everyone will be forgiven. And such a forgiveness according to my glory and greatness. But these people I won't forgive who have these qualities. Mushrik. The people, the person who does shirk. Alhamdulillah. We prostrate to Allah. Isn't it? But let's look at the idols within us as well, inside us. Yes, we are not worshipping the idol physically, but the nafs inside us, we have not taken freedom from it. We are still prostrating to the nafs, our desires. So we are still prostrating to the nafs. The idol isn't outside us, it's sat inside us. It's not outside us. So even if we worship the idol inside us, we'll wake up as mushriks as well. Remember this point. Yes, you can have an idol in front of you physically, or you can put the veil between you and the idol, but you're prostrating to the idol. So who are we doing sujood to? Prostration to an idol. Yes, so the nafs, the desires of a person is such an idol, you can break it, but it doesn't break. You can try to break it, but it doesn't break. What does that idol say of the nafs? It says, prostrate to me, worship me, listen to me, the nafs says, listen and obey me. We say, yeah, okay. So what does the nafs say? The desires speaks, whatever I say, do that. Am I Rab or is Allah the Rab, the nafs says. Listen to me, the nafs says, don't pray salah, the nafs says. Don't keep the beard, the nafs says. Don't observe parda, hijab, the nafs says. And who is listening to the words of the nafs? The mushrik. The mushrik, subhanAllah, straightforward answer. Straightforward. What's he doing? He's doing praying salah and doing shirk. Don't drink alcohol. No. Don't listen to music. He says he's doing it. Don't consume haram, do haram actions. No, he wants to do haram actions. Don't imitate those without deen, faith. He's doing that. So is he mushrik or is he Muslim? Make the decision yourself. Which idol are we talking about? Straightforward point, isn't it? So Allah, our Rabb, is saying something else. And inside us, the Rabb is saying something else. So who should we listen to? Allah or our nafs inside us? Allah, our Lord above, is saying that Fajr time, come running. Yes, leave your home, leave your shop, your business. Business, everything. Who is saying this? Our Rabb, our Lord, our Khalik, our Creator, isn't it? And if we accept this, then who are we prostrating to? Him, to Allah. But the other God is saying, that sat inside us, no, I'm not going to go, yaar, I've got my business to run, I'll pray salah at home, it's okay. Who said this? Yeah? Who told you have to go to the masjid? So now we'll see who does that individual listen to and obey. Whoever he obeys, then that is his Lord, his God. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. But tell me, I say I'm a Muslim. Why? Because I eat halal food. And my beard is as long as my navel. They will not look at beards, not the faces, not at the appearance. What will Allah Ta'ala look at? Qalbi Saleem. The clean, pure heart. The clean, pure heart. Which heart is the one that's clean? That listens and obeys the order of his Rabb. Whichever heart obeys the order of Allah, that's the clean, pure heart. That's Qalbi Saleem. Yes? Whoever follows the order of the nafs, that's a dirty heart. The insan, the human being, is that person, Muslim is that person, who any order of Allah's, he does not take any step against it. He never obeys the order of the God, the idol inside him, against the order of Allah. That individual who has said correctly, La ilaha, say Subhanallah. Yes, we've said La ilaha, La ilaha. There you can't achieve anything like that. La ilaha. La, where's it gone? Up. La ilaha. I end everything. I finish the nafs of Allah. If I obey anyone, it's you. If I prostrate, it's to you. If I listen to anyone, it's you. Whatever you say is halal, Allah is halal. Whatever you say is haram. But I will not go towards the haram. Yes, and read the kalma of that person. When he reads La ilaha Allah, then the heavens and the earth, they shake. And the hadith is stated, when a person like this recites the kalma, when he starts the kalima, then the whole of the heavens, the skies, and the earth, it starts shaking due to that person when he recites the kalima. Great kalima has roots. It goes right up to the skies, heavens. You're not taking back what I'm saying, are you? So this is our life. So what's the first thing? Mushrik. In this night, what do we need to do tawbah from? The shirk, we are not going to commit shirk. Do you understand what is shirk now? And worship enough, then tell me, how can a person be a believer and get the success and forgiveness? So it's too hard. Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? If hell is easy, then go. Then shake hands with hell, if you think it's easy. So you recite the correct kalima. Do la correctly. Say la la correctly. At the moment, there's only one part you've recited. Muhammad Rasulullah, that's even left still. We haven't even discussed that yet. Subhanallah. Oh, lovers of Allah, first come there. That when a person says Muhammad, when he arrives to Muhammad Rasulullah, then there's something else completely that he comes into. Is it easy to recite this kalima? Oh, a mashaykh going on marches, conferences, reciting nasheeds and nads, and enjoyment and rejoicing, and people are just enjoying themselves, they say. This is not so easy. We think that the deen is, then where have they gone, the Sahaba Ikram, who their lives, they gave the everything, the effort. We haven't even recited the kalama correctly yet. Haven't? So today in this night, Allah Ta'ala says, first thing is the mushrik, don't be the mushrik. The mushrik will not succeed. So just a small point, just a minor transaction. Allah, we're going to accept your, whatever you say, nobody else. What's the worst thing? Maybe we'll pass away and be shaheed, but I won't consume haram. I won't lie. I won't commit fraud. And maybe if I only got one sheet of cloth left and I'll wander around, but I won't do fraud. I won't do wrong. Rizq, I won't be worried about rizq, wealth. Whatever difficulty you give, I'll never be distressed. Why? Because I know my Rabb has given this to me. Whatever my Lord has given to me, Subhanallah. What a great point. This is the Muslim. No? For example, such a condition comes or situation arises. Something wrong comes to you. Someone claims that, hey, eat this. And you open it in the box and they're rotten mangoes. You say, what's this? Who gave this to you? You say, who? That your mother, respected mother, she said, especially give it to you. Mother gave this? Okay, okay. And then you'll calm down, become cool. Because when you know that someone who loved you gave you this, then most definitely that person didn't give it like this. Maybe there was something lacking in this, and I didn't see, look properly, then straight away you'll forget all of the faults in that person. Isn't it? You don't understand my example? Because the person who sent it was a person who loved you, your mother, and your respected mother couldn't imagine that there's a defect, that she'll have something against you and she'll send you something wrong. So maybe there's something in the item, the product, not the mother's mistake, not the sender's mistake. Say Subhanallah. You understand that, innit? You accept that. So who's greater than mother? Who's greater than mother? How many mothers combined is he greater than the Rabb, our Lord? So when he gives you something, you say, Subhanallah, who gave this? Oh, this sickness Allah sent to me. Subhanallah, this is your fadl, your grace. That who's not giving the son? Allah's not giving the son. Oh, it's fine, Allah's decision. I've got no problem, Allah's decision. And when Allah says that everything I give to you, sent to you, that everything is bi-idhnillah. Allah Ta'ala says everything is given by me. Allah decides, Allah allocates, Allah knows best. Subhanallah. How clearly Allah Ta'ala is doing justice. That make your iman, I will give to you what you need. Allah says, Yahdi bi qalbi. Why? I'll give you hidayah, guidance to your qalb if you believe and accept what I'm saying. Wah, subhanallah. Allah says that I am Aleem, I know everything, my person. That don't consider that difficulty as a hardship. Who sent this? That don't look at the dirty, rotten mangoes. Ask who sent these. Mother, isn't it? Then you'll calm down. Not some enemy who sent it to you. Tell me now, are we sat as mushriks or Muslims? Tell me. Subhanallah. Just speak about ourselves. So this is our hal, our condition. And then, another point. So much we have love with Allah that we start giving examples of other people. Look at them, they're enjoying themselves, they're doing this. We recite your kalima Allah and you're treating us like this, you're treating us like that. Subhanallah. That's the decision that Allah Ta'ala makes. That they haven't even recited the kalima. What hisab will I do with them? The Allah says, I have my accounts with you, you have recited the kalima and you're a mushrik. Tell me. Allah says that I have the complaint with you that you recited the kalama, you're a mushrik. They are mushrik already. There's no issue there. So why do we ask and give them examples of those people when we think we're great Muslim? They're enjoying themselves and that this is worse than the shirk that we do. This is worse than shirk that we complain, that we praise those people, ghayril maghdubi alayhim wala dhalin. Those people who send a greater, better, Allah is favoring them, giving them enjoyment. We recite the kalama. And what salah are you praying, person? What kalama have you recited? And what are you proud of? What are you lacking? That you know, and even despite that you disobey, you take the Quran in your hand and you disobey. They don't even know the Quran. And they say, okay, get away with it. And they don't have iman. And they don't accept the reject. They don't know who's the Nabi in the reject. They are in that position already. But you, despite knowing, becoming aware, the amount of rejection of the Quran you do, the amount of rejection you do, the Holy Prophet ﷺ, nobody does. The thing that Allah's Nabi ﷺ gives pain to the Prophet ﷺ, and every day you cut that with your hands. You do that or not? Tell me. You go, you buy it, the product, those things that they've made, you buy them, you'll bring the tools yourself, you make the resources, you'll stand, and after standing in front of the mirror, then you'll say, here we go, you like this, didn't you? Here we go, that's my action. And that thing, then you throw it down the drain. In the hadith is stated, Allah Ta'ala picks those hairs up. Allah Ta'ala doesn't let the hairs go to dishonor. And on the day of judgment, the rope will be made out of those hairs, and it'll be thrown around his neck. Look at this. And he's very happy. Oh, I've got it this much, this much. The nafs tells him, and he does sajda to the nafs that he likes. No shame, no ashamedness. Summun bukmun ummin fahum la yarji'un. This is the preparation for Ramadan Allah's making us do via Shaban. Are we not preparing or not? Tell me. Yes, so Muslim gets Ramadan, not the mushrik. Allah Ta'ala, Allah, I've opened a door. Allah says, I've given you the opportunity. 15 nights is coming. Ask for tawbah. Look, Allah's greatness. All lifelong, your mushrik life, Allah says, I'll take that away from you, bring you towards iman. Do you do tawbah? Yes, straightforward question, isn't it? Straightforward transaction. There's no forcing here. Allah says, la yukallifallahu nafsan illa wusaha. I don't give a burden to anyone. I just explain, Allah says. I explained to you. I'm not saying this. Allah is explaining. Wallah billah, the points I'm making, they weren't even in my mind what I'm telling you now. I swear by Allah, I did not come in advance preparation. Wallah, I couldn't even think about these words that right now when I'm discussing, I'm a thief myself. Yes, how can a person mention his theft? So I couldn't even think of this definition of shirk that I'm today doing in front of you. I swear by Allah, I never had it in my mind. Imagine, so deep. This is our hal. How Allah Ta'ala is allowing a person to speak with Zad al-Niyya. Allah, we want Ramadan. Balligh al-Ramadan, balligh al-Ramadan, we were shouting out. So Allah Ta'ala felt pity on us. And then inside me give this awareness that I'm speaking like this. Otherwise, I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm surprised that that thing that I didn't know before myself, that this is shirk as well. Look at this. So why shouldn't I accept this point that I have no ilm, I haven't studied no kitab, no hadith, no Bukhari, no Bayhaqi, no Ahmad, etc. But despite not studying anything, I say I don't know anything. Allah says, you are the one who knows. You are the one who knows. Isn't it? Allah saying this, isn't it? Allah says, you are the one who knows. But the people who don't know, they say they know, they don't know. They don't consider Bukhari as Bukhari. They just know khatam of Bukhari Sharif, khatam of Bukhari Sharif, make food and that's it. Hazrat Taqi Usmani sahab, subhanAllah, he said, I've left the khatam of Bukhari. Rahmatullah, he said, a big bid'ah innovation. These are his words. He said, I've left khatam of Bukhari. He said, I don't go. He said, just we started this action and it's spread so much now, this situation. These were his words. He said, where has it arrived to now? Khatam. So big other actions, other things have been mixed with this, and it's become lazim and essential to do other things. I'm not saying this. How dare I say this? Ulama Karam, respected scholars, and putting my toes in, but he's saying this, who started this action. The Bukhari, no Quran. These things are, this is a different meaning what I'm telling to you. That these tell us that who is the mushrik? The kitab, the hadith, but nobody says that until now. Bukhari explains to us who is the mushrik. The first hadith of Sahih Bukhari tells us that all actions according to intentions. Do the tashri, do the commentary of this hadith if you can do it. Bypass now, we bypass. Let's go to the next hadith. Let's carry on. We left the hadith, let's go to the next hadith. So my brothers, Ramadan, is this the preparation for Ramadan? Allah has given a list. Don't do shirk, will not forgive the mushrik. Cure, 100 years of idol worshipper, 100 years person who worships his nafs, do tawbah, if he repents, I'll forgive him, Allah says. Yeah, that's why we come. What's happened? What's the nafs, tawbah of the nafs, repentance of the nafs? Allah, I won't worship the nafs, I won't obey the nafs. Who will I worship? I won't worship my wife, I won't obey my children, I won't obey my mother, I won't obey my father, I won't obey my ustad, I won't obey the dunya, I won't obey the whole world. If I will obey, who will I obey? Oh my Rabb, my Lord, I will obey you. That's the first promise. Yes, I will take all haram things out of the house. That whatever you don't like, I will dislike as well. Whoever you love, I will also love that person or that thing. Subhanallah. If you say wake up in the morning, I'll wake up in the morning. If you say wake up in the night, I'll wake up in the night. If you say keep the fast, I'll keep the fast. If you say wake up, I'll wake up, I'll go on Umrah. If you say go Hajj, I'll go Hajj. Whatever you order, I will do that. I will continue to do that. Allah says, fine. When you do that, then what are you? You become the mu'min, the believer. And because you brought iman into yourself. Yes, our feet are dangling in the grave. Do tawbah today, my friends. Do not be afraid. Do tawbah today. Do you do tawbah? Raise your hands if you want to do tawbah. Yes, you're not putting your hands up now. Are you putting your hands up now or not? Tell me. Mashallah, mashallah. Okay. Next. It looks like that today we will continue until we arrive to the night of Shaban. What's the next name on the list? That was the first name I told you that was on the list of those who won't be forgiven. What's the next name? The beauty this is in this list, Allah Ta'ala hasn't mentioned his name anywhere. No salah, fasting, hajj, zakat, no worship action. The other things Allah has mentioned here. Immediately after this, Allah Ta'ala, the next person Allah mentioned, the point Allah mentioned is the breaking the ties. Do you understand this? One is mending the ties, one is breaking the ties. Breaking the ties is to spoil the relationships with the relatives, the huquq, the rights. Oh, big lovers are sat there right now. They break the relationships. Which relationships? The biggest, highest relationship is what? I'm not speaking now. Somebody else is speaking. Something else is speaking from with me. A jinn. Well, the biggest relative is what? Relationship? We say mother and father. No. There's a bigger relationship than that. the husband wife. When a person gets married and you become a husband, you become a wife, after that you become a mother or father, isn't it? Or were you mother and father in advance? Tell me that. When you get married, you have children, then those children, you'll be the mother and father of those children, won't you? So then the silsila continues, the sequence, that our mother and father, they also made like this, wasn't it? So the first thing in the sequence is what? The husband, wife, who came first? Adam alayhi salam and Hawa came first? Or were they, did they have a mother and father as well? Say subhanallah. I'm not saying this from inside, it's coming. They've changed it today, they've changed the philosophy today a little bit, yeah? So most important relationship, which is the greatest right, what is that relationship? The husband and the wife. And if the husband doesn't give the right to the wife and the wife doesn't give the right to the husband, the whole society is spoiled. Then the mother and fathers are spoiled. Mother and father, to obey them, and disobedience is there when the children are brought up in such a place where the mother and the father, the husband and wife, have a difference, who don't give the rights to each other, whether it's zulm, oppression, then the children are born there always, they'll be the wrong type of children. Spoiled, say subhanAllah. The good mother and father, husband and wife, the good husband and the good wife, you have to first become a good husband and a good wife. Then you can claim that my child doesn't respect me. Haven't I said this? That today if your child is disobedient today, it's for this reason, because you also were disobedient to your mother and father. It starts from there, the sequence, the combination. So most important relationship is the husband and the wife. And the two words, just in the name of Allah, that relationship is formed. Two relationships are formed with Allah's name. And both are azim, great relationships in the eyes of Allah. There are two relationships, two bonds that are sold for the name of Allah. One is that you are set. Yes, there's a woman from the south, a man from the north. And you don't know each other. And when she's from Pakistan, he's from Bangladesh, don't know where she's from. And you have weddings like this, don't we? And you meet. And then there's the wedding, his father comes, the decision's made. He's just saying, that person to the other person, that for the name of Allah, for the sake of Allah, I give my daughter to you. And he says, that for the sake of Allah, I accept your daughter as my bride, as my wife. He says, for the sake of Allah, in Allah's name, I give my daughter to you. And he says, in the name of Allah, I accept your daughter. And whose name is in between? Just Allah's. He said, okay, I've given my daughter to you. Then he continues, in this name of Allah, I accept your daughter. This much mahar money I give to her. The dowry, which we say. And I promise, for the sake of Allah, because I've taken your daughter in the name of Allah, I promise in the name of Allah, her food, her clothes, her protection, everything I am responsible for, to safeguard her. Yes, she won't do it. It's not her responsibility, it's my responsibility. This is a contract you're making. And the father says, okay, here's my daughter, take her. SubhanAllah. Now, when this contract is formed in the name of Allah, and he takes the daughter of that man, and he gives the daughter in the name of Allah, then within a second in the dunya, within a second, the husband and the wife, the connection is made such that more than the father and the mother, it's grown greater, their connection. Now the wife, soon as she becomes a wife, she will not listen to the mother or the father. Now she will obey her husband. What a great contract. Imagine our deen, our religion, our way of life. How? Just in the name of Allah, that contract's made, the relationship, the bond, husband and wife. Hakuk have come now, haven't it? The rights, such big rights come now. She won't listen to anyone. If she listens to anyone, she'll listen just to her husband. Why? Because in the name of Allah, he has taken me, he has bought me. What a great woman who has sold herself in the name of Allah. For the name of Allah. And after she becomes your wife, and if he's then disrespectful, he breaks her rights, and he makes her like a donkey, and he tramples on her rights, and he does zulm on the wife. And he does bad hisab kitab, then do you think you'll be saved like this? Allah says, never at all. In this night, I will not even forgive that individual who broke the ties, who did zulm, oppressed his wife, and he didn't give her rights, fulfill her rights. Where will the hajj come? Where will the umrahs be accepted? Yes, ask a person who's doing tawaf, is your wife happy with you? Tell me how many hajjis will be grabbed at that time whose wives are not happy with them. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me, my friends. The houses are destroyed like this. You, he always thinks he's better and superior. Whatever I say, she has to do this. Whatever I say, she has to do this. You don't even know that you took your wife in the name of Allah and she's under your feet. Though, for example, I'll just stay with him for the sake of Allah, I will not go anywhere, she says. Committed. What a great sacrifice. And you say, you work, I can't work. That I can't fulfill your expenses, you'll have to work yourself, and you will bring up the children, I can't do nothing. And she'll say, you do this, I can't do this. And he brings the money, you just sit and eat, and you get the car from him, and you get the house. And that woman, why should she work? You promised that you are responsible to fulfill the expenses. You will feed her, give her to drink, everything of her affairs, you are responsible for that. Is this the case or not? Then where will you arrive Ramadan? How will that person, a man like that, attain Ramadan? Never will he. First and foremost, there should be a strong relationship with the husband and wife. Husband and wife should be so happy in that house where the husband and wife are happy. Such obedient children are born that you will be amazed. Automatically obedient the children will be. Automatically, and the lifestyle comes into them. The manners, my father wasn't like this, my mother wasn't like this. Never will they have bad manners with each other. Never will they fight or quarrel. And they will respect each other totally. Hakuk, the rights will be in front of them. This is the rights of my wife. I'll have to give them because I promised. If I don't give, doesn't matter how much ibadah I do, worship, he'll be wretched and cursed, that individual. If, for example, he doesn't give to his wife the rights, he's wretched, cursed. The people that say, barakah, blessings can never come in that house where he doesn't give the rights to the wife. Never will they come in that household. That woman, and she's there, and the wife, the woman, is the reflection of parda. Woman equals parda. Hidden precious jewel. And you're taking her out of the house, exposing her? Tell me you're making her earn? Go out to earn? Look at this great scene that you're going to work in the morning. You come back, your wife sat at home. She is the raha. She is, mashallah, libas for you. She is the comfort for you at home. You attain comfort from your wife. All the tiredness of the day will evaporate when you come home. She will love you so much. She will love you so much that when you come home and you'll bring gifts for her, he'll bring things for her, things that she likes, and he'll give her love. And she'll be waiting for you, and the house will become Jannah, paradise. First, the best is that man, when he enters into the house, then his face is smiling, subhanAllah. And we have got frowns on our faces. In that house, ikhlas cannot come, happiness cannot come, the hunger cannot come into the house, poverty cannot come to the house, where the husband goes first to the home and gives salam to his wife, and sends the durood on Rasulullah, recites surah ikhlas, never will the poverty and distress come to the household. What a great wazifa. Great action. Who does this? Who goes, as soon as we go home, what have you cooked today? As soon as we go home, oh, I'm tired. Yesterday's anger, he lets it out and his mouth's got a frown on it. And he can't speak with a straight face, and she sat there, distressed. You, he says to her. Like she's a slave, a worker. You upset? No, you don't do this, other people do this. Not you, no, it must be to you. Now I'm not talking about you or us. Yes, you are good people, mashallah, pious. Yes, so if you want to get Ramadan, then learn this today, tuba today, please your wives, make your wives happy. Whoever's made his wife happy, then consider he has attained Jannah. Okay, now, no, she does this to me, so why shouldn't I take revenge? The wife will say, oh, he does zulum on me, my husband, so why shouldn't I do it? SubhanAllah. This is the enjoyment. This is the satisfaction, is in this, that there's zulm coming to you and you are exchanging it with love. You are paying with love. Allah Ta'ala wants this. That Allah says that you need your Jannah, your paradise. You should keep fulfilling your rights. Even if you're earning the sways or the disrespect, that person's going to Jahannam. Don't take revenge, because it's a contract. Remember, there are two sides on the contract. There are two crimes. What was the second contract for the name of Allah? Is the contract between the sheikh and the murid. In the name of Allah, the murid sells himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even there is only Allah's name that's in between. When there's a murid and he goes and to the teacher, he doesn't say anything second. What does he say? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu. After reciting, he puts the hand in the hand of the sheikh, just like the wife gave her life to the husband, then the contract's made, the bond's made. That bond is greater than that as well. This relationship even stronger than that, the first one. Why? Because this is the relationship for the pleasure of Allah. In this, all the rights are the same. Just like the sheikh's rights, there are some rights of the student, the murid. My Hazrat Sahib said to me, what did he say to me first and foremost? He said, now you go, you will have murids, but remember that they will have rights of murids, and be tender with them, gentle with them, and fulfill the rights of your students, do their tarbiyah, do their improvement. My Sheikh is telling me this. What does this mean? That what do we do today? Bring money, go there, get some money from him, get some from me, money from him, then you'll be the peer, otherwise you're not the peer. My Sheikh, what did he say to me though? That be tender and gentle with your students, it doesn't matter how many mistakes they make, be gentle with them, don't be strict, be gentle, tender, and fulfill their rights completely. Whether it's night or day, whether they're sick or you're well, whoever comes to you, sit down with them for hours and explain to that person. Subhanallah. No form, doesn't matter what type of person comes, whatever sect or group or maslak, you smile at that person, sit with that person, explain for hours, sit for hours if you have to. If he's sick, if you're sick, you're sick. If there's an operation, let it happen. No connection, you have sold yourself for the sake of Allah. Subhanallah. How? Money. Your money has been accumulated in Jannah, in paradise. This is the sheikh and the student, peer and murid. Both have rights, mutual. What are the murid's rights? You are murid, you're a student, you've sold yourself at the hand of the sheikh. Now you've sold yourself. Now there's no hisab. Whatever the sheikh says, you are the ghulam, the servant. You submit, accept. It's equal, equal, both sides. You don't understand what I'm saying? So these are the two relationships that are formed in the name of Allah. Husband, wife, sheikh and student. Both will be asked. The sheikh will be questioned. Did you give the rights of the student? And the murid will also be questioned, the student. That did you ever ask your sheikh his halat? Do you ever have any affection for the teacher? Did you ever demonstrate your love to the teacher? Or just you make a fuss and complain and go to this teacher and play games? And did you ever think about your teacher? Consider your teacher. He's sick, he's upset, or he's down. Did you ever think about the teacher? Do you have any regard? Think something to think about. Yes, yes. You didn't have no love for the teacher. You didn't even think. Just like the sheikh will be asked. Question, the murid, the student will be asked. Both sides relationship. And these are two relationships. The hisab will occur on the day of judgment. Say subhanallah. First and foremost, the hisab will take place between the husband and wife will be summoned. They tell me, did he fulfill your rights? First hisab will be the sheikh and murid also will be summoned as well. The student and the teacher. And you steal, you do ghibat, backbite against the teacher. You do gossip mongering against your teacher. You say bad to him, or he's this, he's too strict, he does this, you make a fuss, I'm not capable. And you speak like this, deceive. You will realize on the day of judgment. Why? Because you sold yourself. You made a transaction. You understand what I'm saying? Subhanallah. So what is this now? So do you understand breaking the ties now? Breaking the ties. And you've understood this now? What is the definition of breaking the ties? So the biggest right is whose? Husband and wife. Give the rights to the wife completely. And the wife should give the complete rights to the husband. Even if the husband swears and mocks and does dhulam and oppresses, your hisab, Allah will account for that person. You continue to serve a wife. You give him the food to eat. You press his legs when... You clean his dishes. You clean his clothes. And don't ask him for the accounts. You have sold yourself. You have assigned yourself, Allah will take the rights from the person. This is your tahajjud, your nawafil, your hajj and umrah is he. Why? Because you said Allah has given me this man, he's my husband. Don't be equal, if he does this, I will do this, I'll take revenge. Yes, and there was a non-Muslim and he came to me. So a new Muslim. And there was a complaint from the wife and I said, what's the issue? He presented the issue and he's a very nice man. He said to me, what shall I do? I said, what did you do? He said, I was in doubt. Is she going to throw the bottle on me? So I slapped her first. I said, Ajib, so in doubt you slapped her. She didn't hit the bottle on you. He said, maybe she lift the bottle and hit me. Maybe. So this is our sub. That don't take revenge like that on suspicion and doubts. Just fulfill your own rights. That's it, okay? Yeah, those who aren't married, then fulfill the rights of the mother and father, first and foremost. After husband and wife, or the mother and father, because yes, from the husband and wife, then becomes the father and mother. Yes, they have a lot of rights, and after that, the relatives, the lot of rights, this is called mending the ties. Allah's Nabi said, after Iman, believe the biggest right, the biggest level, daraja, The biggest amal, action after iman, is what? Is mending the ties, maintaining the ties, maintaining good relationships. Tell me what a great status there is for that. And the homes, there'll be sukoon, husband and wife, good relationship. Third point, third person. Kina, malice. The person who has malice, hatred in the heart for others, will not be given malice. Hatred is the root of all sins. From malice comes backbiting. Malice gives envy. Malice gives anger. Malice gives all wrong. Malice, hatred. If in your heart you have negative against somebody, that's it. You have some negative against a person in your heart. Malice, hatred. And you have this buried in your heart. That's kina. It's a very dangerous condition. Extract this. Make your heart pure, clean in all ways. Totally clean your heart. No, he says this to me. Oh, he done this to me without any reason, making stories and embedding them in your heart. If you have proof, even then, even extract it. Okay, fine, Allah knows best, He knows best. What need do I have to think about this? Oh, I'm not going to think bad about him, negative about him. No, I don't think bad about anybody. Don't let thoughts about anybody come into your heart. If they're in your heart, if waswasa comes, extract it, eliminate it. Why are you sitting with sorrow and distress? That hatred, malice, how much of revenge will you take on a person if somebody does zulm on you, oppresses you? What will you do? Just forget to leave. Allah knows, He knows. Yes, I don't want to take revenge either. You want to take revenge, grab him, get the knives and go and beat that person. You can't do that. No, are you going to do that? Just leave it then. Leave that person to Allah. Leave it. Oh, he's done zulm with me, oppressed me, done this, X, Y, Z. Take the story out of your heart that all of this happened to me. He knows, Allah won't leave that person. That's it, end of story. Why should I take revenge? This hadith on this, a beautiful hadith, that if you take revenge, then you will take it, isn't it? But if you leave taking revenge, then your Rabb will take on that person. So what do you want? You want to take revenge or do you want your Rabb to take it? What a beautiful balance here. How much revenge will you take on that person? Tell me. And you can't even do it. You don't have the power. So foolish person, extract it from your heart. The negative, your Rabb knows best. He's done zulm with you, oppressed you, injustice. Whoever it is against you, Allah won't leave him. That Allah definitely will account for you on your behalf. And at the right time, you won't even realize that the revenge has been taken out on that person. So extract the kina, the malice, the hatred, the negative. Okay? Next point. Next person. After malice, hatred. Is acts of shame, alcohol, intoxication, riba, interest, music and singing, musical instruments. These actions Allah dislikes. Big hadith on these. If a person's shackled by these actions, woman or man, then do tawbah, repent to Allah. Allah, this defect is inside me. Singing, music, I listen to music, I consume riba, I eat interest, I do zina, I do shameful actions, women folk, and there are habits of in a person like this. Many young people today, with their hands they play women and men. They do these actions. So what's the benefit in this? Allah is unhappy, displeased. Do tawbah, repent. These old shaitani, devilish actions, gambling, drinking alcohol, and all dirty actions Allah has prescribed, they're evil. Yes, women do these, men do these. What's the reason? That there's a good method to stop these actions. How is a person motivated to do wrong? Telephone, the phone, internet, telephone, laptop. When a person sees these things, devilish things, then he goes towards them. He goes towards the sins and the wrong. So slam door, shut that door. Don't show your children those things. We say, oh, we'll be backwards and left behind in today's generation if we don't do this, my friends. You don't even want to go beyond this generation by doing these actions. Do itadal, balance. Balance. Watch it. Be careful. Today, the child, he has a lot of awareness in our generation when we were young. You know, a child, at 15 years old, he didn't know that what was maturity, what was a baligh child. We didn't know. But today, 3-4 year old child knows everything. What is maturity? What is the baligh? The signs of maturity, he knows. The phone, they grab, they take our programs out of the phone. I've seen children, 3-4 years old myself, they do the actions. Their fingers move like this on the screen. You're amazed, they're shocked. Where they reached, arrived to. Control it. Balance is fasad, is fitna. When the brains are spoiled and a person thinks of these things, dirty things, stop watching them. Leave the phone. Just keep the phone as long as it's necessary. Nafs, control your nafs. Control the nafs. If you want to attain Ramadan. That's it. This is the list Allah Ta'ala has given. So my brothers, Shaban's preparation, this is the preparation of Shaban. There's a great preparation without comparison. From today we start this. We're not going to do this on 15 now, Shaban. Inshallah, on that now we'll do something else. We'll start this today. We'll do Tawbah right now, tonight. And the repentance, best tariqah of repentance is what the Quran has prescribed. Go to a friend of Allah, Shaykh, and put your hands in his hand and do Tawbah. That today I've explained to you, this is Tawbah al-Nasu. Those women folk are not bayah. That even the women folk, we put them to the back. We are taking bayah. But we don't see that the women folk, they should also take bayah. That we don't want to send them to Jannah. No, just keep them for cooking the food. What a bad thing. Such a simple method that you need to phone and give bayah. And they'll get dhikr. And they'll get a high status, the poor, the soul, the sister. But we don't want the sisters to benefit. We'll come to dhikr ourselves. We'll take bayah ourselves. We'll do everything ourselves. Will Allah not ask tomorrow, there's your children, are your children alright? Subhanallah. The mother is the one who will correct the children. They'll drink the milk of the mother. She will give birth to the children. And you've detached her. You don't want to make her Naqshbandi. You're going to dhikr. You have no tut or anything. You're just hidden away in the corner at the back. Subhanallah. What sort of justice is this? Tell me. And Allah in the Quran says what? That, oh, believing women, when they come to the Prophet ﷺ, that, oh, Shaykh, when the women will come to you, and the women don't come. Yeah? They don't come. They're left aside because we have injustice inside us in our society. We don't give importance to the women folk, to our sisters. They don't know that what is Shaykh, how to take bayah, learn dhikr. Despite the surah that was revealed was for the women folk at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. It wasn't for the men. It was for the mu'minat, Allah said in this verse, in this surah. What dhulam we do on the women, dhulam, we hide it from them. Tell me. So ask the sisters, look how much love there is, how great opportunity. That man who wakes his wife up in the morning, or that woman who wakes her husband up in the morning, Allah gives rahmah, mercy to both. This is that we don't have this relationship. That we should care, my wife, she prayed salah, she prayed tasbih today, done tasbih today, she prayed tajwid, and the majlis today or not, is she doing her sheets or not doing, we don't know, we're not aware. If you ask, oh, she'll, you know, ridicule me. Tell me, what sort of program is this? Is this not breaking the ties? That we've slammed the door of Jannah on the wife, that we've just closed the silsila on her, don't give her access. So Shaban's coming. The night of 15 now Shaban's coming. There's just a separate phone I brought for the women folk. A separate number I've given to them. I care for them. And no man is allowed to phone them. Only the women folk can call on that number. Yes, and the tarbiyah for those women folk takes place. Masail, they have issues. The old dunya from worldwide phone calls come all night long. Nothing else in the day I'm with you and the women, in the night, during the night, sister. The sisters, that's the hukum, my sheikh. Don't sleep. Assist the people. That no sickness, keep on moving. No excuse. So I'm moving in front of you. And if you ask my age, how much is it? Your mouth will drop. Why? Brothers, that as long as you have life, do the work of Allah Ta'ala. Why do you consider yourself as old? Why do you think you're aged? You can never be old who is doing the work of Allah's deen. Never. Who's doing the work of Allah. That can a person ever host dhikr like this, an old man? Can he sit for this long, lengthy discussion? No, only a young man can do this. Yes, look at my face. Do you do this dhikr when people see me? Yes, what else do you think I'm doing? He says, oh, so Allah gives this. Are you the person who's dhikr? Such beautiful tone and voice, they say. Commonly when I go to the shops and people are there, are you Hazrat Sahib? Are you the person who leads the dhikr? Oh, sure, subhanAllah, amazing, they say. That, yes, your voice is so great and it's so tender. And people say, mashallah, say mashallah. When you praise me, then say mashallah, because otherwise my voice will go down. You don't understand what I'm saying? So sometimes, at least I'll give you some discussion so you can smile and laugh. So yes, we need to attain Ramadan, straightforward solution. I've explained to you, we are in Shaban now, prepared during Shaban. The few points that were in my mind I've shared in front of you, I presented to you. And on that night, the nights to come, what is the ibadah that we should do? The worship. This is the question in that everyone's stuck on. Do this, should we do this action? Thinking, the night passes. Or don't do this, this is innovation. Oh, this is bid'ah. Oh, don't do this, this is bid'ah. What should we do? You ask, and the night passes away. It's gone. Ibadah, worship, there's no ibadah on this night. There's no worship. We pray Isha in Jamaat. Come, you have to pray Isha. If you don't, then you're not a Muslim. Okay? Pray Isha. And you pray Fajr in Jamaat? Yes. Pray Isha. Whoever prays Isha and Fajr, then he's got the whole night thawab of worship. Yes. Alhamdulillah. Why? Because obviously, that the people, tahajjud, they definitely pray, isn't it? If the person prays Isha and tahajjud, then he'll do dhikr as well. In the morning, he'll come and sit with me in dhikr until Ishraq, sunrise. What else will he do now? What other ibadah will he do? Tell me. Is there any other ibadah after this? No other ibadah, no worship. So whoever has done tawbah, then he is successful, that person. There's nothing else left. We are just to do tawbah on that night. Just to do tawbah. We do ibadah anyway. We pray salah, we read Quran, we do dhikr, we pray tahajjud, we pray ishraq. Always we sat in dhikr, mashallah, behind me. For hours you sit in dhikr. Say subhanallah. Allah's ni'mah, Allah's treasures, great walis of Allah, their groups used to do this that we are doing today. So great kitabs, we used to read these actions. Sunnah libas, long beards, white libas. They come, sit down like this behind the sheikh, they do maraqabah. We won't get these examples anywhere you go. But we, why are we told this? Because we don't think this is big, because your nafs has been formed. But the person who sees this, he says, what jamaat is this? Whenever you see them, what ajeeb, unique jamaat. People come from outside, their eyes open wide. But we have no recognition of this, feelings that we're doing anything special. We just see our sins and nothing beyond that. Say subhanAllah. So they're going in England and they think about England, the naked women there, music, swimming, pubs and alcohol. They come and say, who's this? This 1, 2, 3, 50, what they're doing? They sat down there just doing dhikr of Allah. They're amazed, shocked. This is England or where else have we come to? I'm telling you the truth here. The reality, one Mulana came. Sheikhul Hadith from India, and I think came first time. And he started crying. He said that I don't believe what my eyes are seeing. One Mulana came who's passed away. Mulana Farooq. And a great Sheikhul Hadith, he had a big madrasa. You learned his name, Mulana Farooqi Sahab. Big Sheikhul Hadith he was. And he had a madrasa. And Masjid Rahman used to say. And he came. And according to his habit for the charity collection, and he told me this. And when he said that, when I sat down, I saw one, two, the Jamaat sat down after that. When you started to do dhikr, and in Masjid Nabwi, he's telling me this, and he's departed. And may Allah give him high darajat, high rank, high status. He used to love me a lot after that. He said, the Hazrat, when I sat down, I said, who are these people who are gathered together? As soon as you did dhikr, he said, that I, with my eyes, I saw that noor was coming onto you, onto your gathering. This was his words. And what did he say that? It was in Masjid Nabwi, I was sat at the back. And some people sat there like they sit now. And Mulana was back there. I didn't recognize him, nor had I met him ever before that. And he sat there behind. Then he used to sit there. After that, he came forward. He said, Hazrat, do dua for me. I said, fine, I'll do dua. Then 2, 3 other people also were with him. He said, Hazrat, can I go with you to the Rawda to do dua? I said, yes, let's go. So, I don't know who he is. We did dua as well. Then I came and sat at the back. Then he sat behind me. So he said, Hazrat, I said, who are you sitting next to me? Who are you? Please introduce yourself. He said, I'm from India. And what's your name? He said, Farooq. And he said, these other big bulanas next to me, they have madrasas in Merit. And he introduced them nicely. And I stood up. I said, subhanAllah. Such your humility. He said, let me tell you an event that once in Masjid al-Rahman I went and your Jamaat was sat in. Then he told me this story that with my eyes I saw the noor descending onto your Jamaat, onto you. At that time I became your lover. And he's passed away on Hajj. He passed away on Hajj. So many kitabs he gave me that he wrote very good kitabs. Nice, big scholar he was. So he said, I saw this with my eyes. And that from that time, I realized from that day, that doesn't matter how much ilm you attain, but the wali Allah is the wali Allah. And these were his words. Doesn't matter how much ilm you attain, doesn't matter how much you study, but today I've realized that the Wali Allah is the Wali Allah indeed. And he was just with behind all the time, and from India he came, he used to stay in there, because I'm mentioning him because mashallah he will attain Jannah. So he stayed in Bury with Mulana Mutala Sahib Rahmatullah. And he was present at that time. Soon he put his luggage down, he said, I need to go to Farooqi Sahib. He said, Hazrat Farooqi Sahib. He said, how do you know him? He said, just I know him, please send me there. Then that time all his Mulanas of Bury, he brought them along with him, they all used to respect him, and he came to my house. Subhanallah. He said, I have come to visit you, but they had to come with me. This is how much love he had. And that was his final meeting with me. So my brothers, the point is just this, that we need to develop a recognition and awareness within us, and to strengthen our yaqeen and our belief and strengthen our path. This is a great jamaat, mashallah. But because your nafs are suppressed, you think, what do we now? But in the hereafter you realize that just have istiqamah, but be steadfast on this path. Just like your shaykh is explaining to you, alhamdulillah. So ibadat, but there's no ibadah worship, not at all. There's just this, alhamdulillah, the individual worship there is in that night, that the ibadah we do in a gathering, especially we are gathered together, that we do this action. The respected scholars say that there's no such situation of speeches and lectures, the individual ibadah. But despite that, like we do dhikr, we don't do dhikr because it's Shaban, but this is our habit. That in the night time we sit down, morning and evening. That's our habit, daily. The everyday person who's used to eating meat, then he is accustomed to it. He's not eating it on the second Eid, on the Eid al-Adha, because he's used to eating daily. So it's our habit as well, every day we do dhikr, and we're not sitting specially on that night. And this is a reward from Allah Ta'ala to us, that the night of Shaban, just we have the permission, you could do this, nobody else does it. Subhanallah. So our gathering will take place, is jais, because we have it anyway. We have it every day. Always. So it's no new action for us. But the other people around us, the mashayikh say, that to have the gathering, ijtimai, assembly, to pray salah, etc., this is not permissible. But because we daily are on this line and we do dhikr, then it becomes jais for us. It's permissible for us. So if today is permissible and Shaban is jais, the 15th night is jais, so come openly, confidently, it'll be a great dhikr with the fadl of Allah on that night. And by chance, it's the night of Shaban, what should we do? We do it anyway, every day we do dhikr, we have to do it. So we'll do it again, immensely. And the rest is the same. The night pray tahajjud, do dhikr, adhkar, and come and pray salah in the morning. Then we'll have a gathering again of dhikr until ishraq, sunrise. Okay? Fourth point, fasting. Now fasting is not fard on that day. It's not sunnah muakkada, it's not necessary to, as long as it's been explained. But it's mustahib, desirable. You'll give you thawab in this. But if you keep the fast, that I'm keeping it for Shaban, the 15th day, then some scholars, they say, be careful. But if you want to keep the fast in Shaban with this niyyah, you can keep the fast. So the next day, it's good thing, it's mustahab to keep the fast. If your health allows, permits, then keep the fast, definitely. But not this niyyah is fard, or it's wajib, or it's sunnah muakkada, or it's necessary. It's not the case. It's mustahab, there's thawab. Yes? So there's thawab for that fast. But if you say the khalis with this niyyah, that is the fast on the 15th of Shaban, and to just be rigid on that, mostly stated for that, our Qabri and pious preachers say that this is not the case. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whoever's health permits, conditions allow, alhamdulillah. But if you think there's Shaban 15th day, there's more thawab and there's more reward will be attained, the ulama respected scholars say, they've researched and say, this is not the case. You can keep the fast. Allah will give the thawab, no doubt. Okay? So these few points that will come to mind, I ask for forgiveness, I took much of your time. May Allah Ta'ala allow our sitting and accept our sitting and our presence, and with well-being, may Allah Ta'ala give us the night of Shaban and the whole of Ramadan. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wasai Dursi.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وآل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وحسرنا وجهدنا وخطأنا ومدنا كل ذلك عندنا. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان ما شاءنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا دافع البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا. اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في السمي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم ربهم هما كما ربياني صغيرا. يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہم کا حق ادا نہیں کر سکتے میرے مولا جس طرح نے ہمیں پالا ہے یا اللہ جس طرح ہماری تربیت کی ہے میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمارے اچھے اعمالوں میں سن کو ساتھ فرما جن کے ماں باپ زندہ ہیں کو میرے مولا ان کی خدمت کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما جن کے ماں باپ دنیا سے جا کر میرے مولا ان کے درجات بلند فرما ان کی مغفرت فرما ان کی قبر کو جنت کی کیاریاں بنا. یا اللہ ہمارے سارے اچھے اعمال میں سن کو حصہ نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے تمام رشتے داروں کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے تمام ساتھیوں کو بخش دے یا اللہ جو ہمارے ساتھی ہم سے پہلے جا چکے میرے مولا ان کی مغفرت فرما ان کے درجات بلند فرما یا اللہ پوری امت کو بخش دے یا اللہ جو امت میں پریشان حال مصیبتوں میں پھنسے ہوئے میرے مولا تو ہی کرم فرما تو ہی رحم فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ اپنے کرم اور فضل والا میرے مولا ہے اللہ تو اپنا کرم اور فضل فرما میرے مولا یا رحم الرحیم یا رحم الرحیم یا رحم الرحیم. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین. Oh.